Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Standing on the North Bank. This is a Swansea City podcast from Wales Online. This is Matt Davis and Andrew Gwilym with you to discuss the Ipswich game. 3-2 defeat. I hate going into international breaks on the back of a loss. And when I saw the stats from the game, I just thought, how have they lost this?
I think it was, what, 73% possession, 15 shots, completely dominant performance, but undermined by defensive mistakes, unfortunately. And I was such a surprise because Swansea have been so solid at the back, haven't they? They've got the second best defensive record in the division. And I think without some of those lapses, on another day, they could quite conceivably have won that game 3-4 or 5-0. And to be honest, I think if they had got a second goal while 1-0 up, I think they would have gone on and won quite comfortably. But I think it just goes to show in the Championship that it's not like the Premier League where there's a clear six or seven teams who are way clear of the rest. If you slip up or you take your eye off the ball, you can be punished. And Ipswich, that was their first win of the season. They've had a really difficult start under Paul Hurst, and they got a great result. And it just shows that if you allow your levels to drop, or you get a little bit overconfident, which I think you could say, I think Swansea did after that first 25 minutes. So comfortable were they, and unfortunately, that sort of slipping off of the intensity just for that sort of few minutes around the half hour mark proved very, very costly.
Do you think the international break has come at the right time? The previous international break came at the right time.
Yeah, with injury problems.
Yeah. Do you think this one has come?
If they'd have won Saturday, I'd have said no, because they've been on a good run of form. I think you could see that sort of style of play and possession-based game starting to work. I think Swansea were getting better game on game. And I don't think they played poorly Saturday. It's just that they undermined their good moments by some very costly mistakes. Never nice, as you say, to go on into international break on the back of a defeat. And you're still on that for a couple of weeks now before they go to Villa. So it's a difficult one. I mean, I think really probably not. Because had they won, you think, well, you just want to keep on going because you're doing well. And even though they've lost now, it's like, well, you'd rather play straight away and try and get that out of your system instead of having to stay on it for 2 weeks.
It's difficult, really. I mean, we're sat here talking about the goalkeepers again. Christopher Nordfeldt chosen to take the gloves for this match. Do you think the chopping and changing affects the players as a defensive unit?
I think there's a case to be made for that. I think it's a difficult one because if you look at the squad as a whole and you look at how Graham Potter has tweaked and tinkered with things as the season's gone on, some of it enforced, others through choice. But Swansea, whenever those players have been put in, they've tended to perform. You look at Kyle Norton having to go into midfield, stepped up and did very well. When Ollie McBurney's asked to play in a different role, like a withdrawn striker, he's played well. Conor Roberts as a right winger. Mark Grimes at left back, absolutely. So but when you look at the keepers then, and even Nordfeldt making that save from Will Grigg at Wigan to preserve a point. And I think we said in the last podcast, it kind of felt like all those decisions were rolling with Potter up to that point. I kind of think, hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? There were errors that were not just Nordfeldt's made on the weekend. Obviously you focus on the winner, because you look at it again and he gets if he gets a solid hand to that ball's got to be tipped around the post.
Yeah.
It's not coming at him at any great pace, really. And you inevitably wonder, would Mulder have saved it? You can't be sure, obviously, but the form he'd been in, you might have fancied that Mulder might have got that one around the post rather than into his own net. So, my personal view, it's difficult because managers have got to do what they think is right, no matter what we might think, no matter what supporters might think. They have to do the job on their own terms, because ultimately it's their head on the chopping block. down the line. So, you know, Graham Potter is, you know, it's entirely up to him how he chooses to go about it. But I just sort of feel that, you know, Mulder's played so well, 5 clean sheets in 9 games. He must be sat there thinking, well, how have I been dropped, essentially? Because he has been, you know, you can say it's rotation, but if you're the player involved, yeah, you're thinking, well, I've been dropped here. And you're probably wondering, well, what have I done, you know, what have I done wrong? Why have I been left out? And I just think that the one area where Swansea have had real stability in selection has been at centre-half. Apart from Cameron Carter-Vickers playing one game at Stoke, it's been Roden and Van der Hoorn. And that understanding between them has grown. You know, I thought they made mistakes Saturday, but overall,
yeah,
they've been very, very good, very solid. And you just think that the keeper is part of that equation.
That's
you'd benefit from that stability. And I was surprised he changed. And, you know, like I said, you can't say with certainty that Mulder would have saved one or two of those on the weekend, but it does feel very harsh that he's not in the team. And I think most supporters would agree, if you had to choose one or the other at the moment, you would pick Mulder. And I just kind of feel that, you know, I understand you want to try and keep people happy, but at the moment, I think Mulder is the guy who's been the better of the two. I don't think there's a huge gulf between them. But Mulder, to me, looks the better choice. And I kind of feel like he should come back in after the international break and probably go back to being, you know, the first choice for a run of games.
Well, he's the player in form, but this isn't the only time that Potter's done this with it after a player has done well. Did Byers go in at Stoke and then was out of the whole matchday squad? It's happened to him before.
I can't think it was after Stoke. I think he played, Byers played at Stoke, then he played, that's it, he came off for half time at Middlesbrough.
That's right.
Players
have gone from the starting 11 to then being completely out of the matchday squad the next week without having done anything in particular wrong.
Yeah.
I suppose that's the definition of keeping place on their terms.
Yeah. I mean, I think the difference is, if you're an outfield player, you can't expect rotation, but you can understand, given the way Potter's looked at things, and he does tend to take an approach that, rather than just picking a side, and you pick the same side if it's doing well.
Yeah.
I think he prefers to pick almost like a horses for courses sort of selection, where you're picking a side with a team in mind. I think it's harder to imagine that with a goalkeeper, isn't it? You know, you kind of look at a goalkeeper and think, well, your best goalkeeper is your best goalkeeper. I think just one of the interesting things was looking at the stats of the two of them. You know, in terms of traditional parameters of what you'd want your goalkeeper to do, Mulder wins hands down. Like, his save percentage is considerably higher. You know, the minutes per goal conceded is considerably better than Nordfeldt's. His, you know, aerial claims and punch numbers are an awful lot higher, which speaks to the authority he has commanding his own area. But when it comes to pass completion, which again is not something that a lot of people would judge a goalkeeper by, but given how Swansea want to play, Nordfeldt clearly comes out of top in terms of his accuracy. So, you know, it depends what you're looking for. You know, in terms of the Wigan game, Potter spoke about their high press. So he felt that Nordfeldt was the best keeper for that, on the basis that he's maybe safer in his passing. Although I got to be honest, I do look at Nordfeldt sometimes and feel very, very nervous when he's got the ball at his feet. But
I don't think you're the only one, to be honest.
But the stats would belie that. The stats would tell you that his pass completion rate is 80%. I think it's about 82%. And that falls in line broadly with Swansea's general overall figure as a side. So it depends what you want. I mean, you know, if it were my choice, and there's plenty of very good reasons why it wouldn't be my choice, but if it were my choice, you know, I think Mulder is the man that you'd want to have in there. You know, I just think I don't have any issue with rotation at all, but I just think there are some areas in your side where that stability and that consistency of selection is beneficial. And I think your goalkeeper and your centre halves
definitely
is definitely a part of that. Yeah.
I'd go as far as saying, you know what, they haven't really had the stability in midfield because Fair's been
injured. Yeah.
I think you keep Fair should be one of the first names on the team sheet, and then whoever partners him in that engine room, whether that be Fulton, Grimes or Carroll.
Yeah. You know, and then obviously McBurney, wherever McBurney plays, but you know he's going to be, if he's fit, generally he's going to be involved.
Yeah, the spine is so important for consistency, but I know it'll be interesting to see now who starts at Villa.
Yeah, but I mean it's created a talking point out of an area where there didn't really appear to be any issue.
No.
You know, Mulder was going along quite nicely, so yeah, it will be very interesting to see what happens with that moving forward.
Okay, let's talk about Chilina's goal. That started off with a goalkeeper.
I was going to say, yeah, we just talking about Nordfeldt's passing, weren't we? And
I think people were shouting for Nurse, weren't they, when he was playing it out?
I did see a few fans saying that it under their blood pressure a great deal of good. I think that probably goes for everyone who watched it. You know, I mean, Leroy Fur in the first place. I mean, the calm to calmly trap the ball and play it back to the keeper in his own 6-yard box. Some people may say more luck than judgment. But in fairness to Swansea, once that ball came to Roberts, the swiftness with which that attack unfolded. The other risk Potter took was in taking Van der Hoorn off so he could get Barry Mackay on. You know, I kind of got the impression that he felt they needed another attacking body on, maybe wasn't sure they'd find the equaliser as they were going along at the time. Yeah. You know, took a risk. And then the moment that I think Roberts found Grimes and they started to get going and beat that initial press, all of a sudden it just completely opened up. You know, they just overloaded Ipswich. You know, you look at Salinas run into the final third and the number of white shirts up with him, the number of options where no defender could commit to going to him because they couldn't leave the men around them that were streaming forward, and that sort of created the room for him to just beat the man and find the bottom corner. I mean, it was a fantastic goal.
Yeah.
And the pity is that, you know, that would have been a superb winner in any game, and as it turns out, it's actually got Swansea absolutely nothing, which, you know, just goes back to the shame that they made some rare defensive blunders, really, and it sort of undermined the quality of a lot of their play. Yeah. And that goal being a prime example, you know, that's a goal of the season contender, not just for Swansea, I think, but, you know, in the division and further afield this season. It's just an outstanding team goal.
Some player, isn't he? You think if he continues on this trajectory as he is, you know, this one's going to be beating people off come next summer, really.
I mean, I don't think we've actually seen anywhere near the best of him. I think I still look at him and I think he isn't always on the wavelength of the people around him. And in some ways, that's quite nice because he's quite prepared to take a risk.
Well, perhaps the other players aren't on his way.
Well, yeah. That's what we're looking at, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, he will see sometimes, you know, he'll play a back heel or he'll play a pass to someone and they're not quite anticipating it. But he gives Swansea something that they have lacked.
Yeah.
You know, that composure on the ball, that bit of class, that bit of guile, bit of artistry, really. You know, he just sees things. Sees possibilities and a lot of other players don't, and I think you'll find he might be quite frustrating in that there'll be times when it'll come off and there'll be times when it won't, and he might give the ball away in bad areas, but I think as long as he is trying to make things happen, then he's a more than welcome addition. Like you said, I think, you know, you can see from his touch, just the way that he plays, there's a little bit of arrogance about him. You know, you can tell that someone who spent a few years at Manchester City. It just comes across in how he carries himself as a player. And like I say, I think he can still get considerably better, which I think is, that's probably the most tremendously encouraging thing. I mean, he should probably have found the net a couple of times already this season before he did so on the weekend.
He was excellent against against Leeds. I remember that game.
He should have scored there later on.
And he had that that deft little chip as well, I think, didn't he, in that
game? Yeah, just over the bar, wasn't it? Yeah.
I think he's a bit of a luxury player, but it's nice to have that luxury,
yeah,
definitely.
Well, I think the interesting thing about him is you can use him in so many different ways. You know, we've spoken quite a bit about the versatility in the squad and the way it's created a competition that maybe wasn't there. But you look at Celina, you know, okay, on the face of it, he's Swansea's number 10. But if you look at how he's been used, he has occasionally dropped into the deep midfield positions.
Yeah.
Proving himself to be comfortable there. He's playing on the left wing. And okay, you can see he's desperate to come central and get involved. But again, perfectly good outlet on the flank as well. So he's got that much talent.
Yeah.
That you can use him in several different ways. I still think number 10 is his best position. But
yeah, definitely.
He does offer that ability to mix things up when you need to.
Right, forget what you said there about versatility, because that's my next point. So I'm just going to skip over the fact that... Yeah,
edit that out.
You wrote a piece this week about is Potter's greatest trick, and very good piece, if I don't say so myself. Basically, the premise was that he's been fooling people into thinking... Potter now was fooling people into thinking that there's been competition within this squad, when basically he's just been putting different players playing them out of position. I suppose, you know, that's as you say in the piece, that he deserves immense credit for that, and the players as well, for taking on tasks that perhaps they're not entirely, not to say comfortable with, but used to.
I mean, I don't think those players would play where they play if he thought they would be uncomfortable or they weren't up to it. You know, they do an awful lot of work on the training field on different formations, different scenarios.
Yeah.
You know, even the situation where he bought Van der Hoorn off at the weekend, you know, speaking to a couple of players after the game, and they were saying that is something that he's worked on.
Yeah.
That, you know, which is hard to imagine, because you can't, you think, well, I mean, Swansea played 3-2-4-1, I think that formation was by the end. But that's worked on, you know, that's not just something that's thrown out there without any thought. So, But yeah, the players do deserve credit, because if for example, if you start Matt Grimes at left back and he has a nightmare, the finger's not going to be pointed at Matt Grimes, the finger gets pointed at Potter. Why are you playing a midfielder out of position in a place where he can be exposed? So the fact that the players can step up and do those jobs, you know, it reflects well on how they've been coached, but reflects it very well on how their attitude and their application, because, you know, without naming names, you know we've had a story. There was a player last season who was asked to play in a completely different position because of injuries, and told Paul Clement in no uncertain terms he wouldn't be doing so, although ironically the player did actually end up playing in that position. But, you know, there's been a real team first approach.
Yeah,
I think when people have been asked to muck in and do jobs that are unfamiliar to them, they've done the work and they've played well, and like we're saying, that almost has created the illusion that there's tremendous competition, but there's still only really one senior centre forward. You know, there's, with Declan John short of fitness, there's still only really one specialist left back in the squad. But because when people have been asked to do these different things, they perform well, they've become options. So, you know, you've gone from having two fit senior central midfielders at the start of the season, now you could say there's seven players who could play in those deep positions, and others could be accommodated elsewhere. And I think that just keeps, it doesn't just keep people on their toes, it allows players who don't play one Saturday to genuinely believe they can still feed, they could, you know, they could be out of the matchday squad one week, they could start the next week. And I think that's good for competition, that's good for morale. And I just think that's a far more positive environment than if you were to look at it in a more sort of linear fashion and say, well, he's first choice here, he's second choice, and we play this way and we only play this way. I think being open-minded as a coach and the players buying into that has just created just a realm of different options of formations and setups. And to be fair, Swansea have been competitive in every game, no matter what they've played, how they've lined up. You know, you think at Stoke, you look, you know, you get the team sheet an hour before kickoff and you look at it and you're going, well, how does that work? Because there's Routledge, James, Dyer, Byers, all in the side. You know, it's 4-4-2, something we hadn't seen that season. And it works really, really well. And for 35 minutes, Swansea by far the better side. So I think it just shows how well drilled they are, but it also shows how receptive the players are to the methods. They're willing to take on these new tasks and they're performing well while they're doing it.
I suppose as well it's a bit of luck and a bit of luck and judgment. And I think it's judgment on Potter's from his point of view. He's obviously looking at particular individuals and thinking they've got the attributes to do a different job, such as Matt Grimes, who is a midfielder for all intents and purposes, but he's done, I think every experiment he's done in terms of whether it be playing Grimes at left back or playing Norton midfield, it's worked, hasn't it?
Yeah,
every single one.
I mean, maybe apart from starting Cody Baker Richardson at Millwall, but but look at look at McBurnie playing as the withdrawn striker against QPR with Baker Richardson up front.
Yeah,
you know, you look at that on paper and you think, well, I'm not sure about that. Yeah. And then you watch it and you can see the reasoning behind it. McBurnie's so good with the link play, but Baker Richardson happier to play off the shoulder of the last defender, so it means you can stretch play, you create more room for others to play deeper. So, yeah, I mean, it just shows there's a real tactical acumen there.
Definitely.
Which, you know, look, from a guy who, you know, I think it's quite plain when you listen to him speak that, you know, we're dealing with someone who's got a very strong intellect and not just a football intellect, you know, but his intelligence just as a man, as a person.
Yeah.
And, you know, quite studious, I think it's fair to say. But he's still managing to generate an enthusiasm in the players for these different challenges and tests. And if you think about it, in terms of training, well, nothing they're doing in training is a waste, is it? Because, okay, you might work on a formation that you don't expect to use, but the players know that there's every chance this guy's going to use that at some point. So it keeps everyone alive. And I think it's making a lot of the players more rounded, which, given how young they are, is only good for their development in the long term. You know, different experiences, different skills. Just to go back to the style, I mean, the one point we should make as well, you know, Graham Potter deserves a lot of praise. But when we're talking about these younger players who've come in and the way the style of play has been re-established or restored, however you want to call it, it just shows how good the work done further down in the academy has been. Because for all that the senior side had lost that identity, if you'd ever been to watch the under-23s, the under-19s, 18s, 16s over the last 2 or 3 years, those sides have always played, in inverted commas, the Swansea way. That passing style has always been there. So in trying to restore it, those players stepping up, excuse me, are comfortable with it because they've been drilled and honed in that environment and that setup. And I think that's fed in to how well Swansea have started the season compared to what we'd really expected before the commencement of hostilities, if you like.
Yeah, definitely.
Sorry, I rambled on.
No, yeah, we're actually checks notes. Well, actually, the next point comes on quite nicely. Dan James, his performance against Ipswich. Could we see more of him, do you think? So on the back of that.
Well, I was going to say, on the back of a performance like that, you would think that he'd have done himself the power of good. I mean, you know, you can point out that, you know, he's up against Matthew Pennington, you know, who is a centre-back by trade rather than a full-back. And, you know, he's not going to want to know too much about someone of Dan James's pace, but you know, you can only go up against the opponent you face, and I thought he was Swansea's most dangerous player. I mean, on another day, he's laying on a hat-trick of goals for Ollie McBurnie, isn't it? Just not quite able to get that final touch on those balls threaded across the six-yard box. And, you know, I thought he was sensational. You know, that was that's not far off the sort of thing Montero's done to sides. You know, we've seen it come on at Sheffield United and Millwall. Just that pace and, you know, not trying to be too clever as a winger, just saying, I'm quicker than you. If I've got to boot the ball 10 yards past you and run round you, then I will. Yeah. You know, I haven't got to beat you with a trick. I'm too quick for you. You can't catch me. And sometimes that's what it boils down to. And I thought he was excellent. And, you know, look, no one's, you know, Connor Roberts does appear to be the best option on that right flank. They give him and Kyle Naughton are forging a really good understanding. They're solid defensively as well as with the ball. You know, the other side, I think, is still very much up for grabs. You know, Montero's injured. I think Mackay, Asoro, people like that, they've not really put a stamp on it.
Yeah.
That's probably the first time, other than when Montero was played, that someone playing on that flank has had that sort of impact on a game. So, you know, he's been in and out to the side. He's had little opportunities here and there. I think he's got a real chance of seeing much more football after the international break. And if he can carry that on, there is a space in that team to be nailed down.
Yeah, I completely agree. Well, we'll wrap it up there, shall we? Are we going to do one next week? It's up to you.
Yeah, I think we will. Yeah, but we might have a bit to talk about next week. Villa have a new manager. And
yeah, well,
obviously, Joe Roden, hopefully maybe having a Wales debut at some point over the coming days after his call-up. You know, richly deserved, really. I think it's very unfortunate not to make the original squad. So, I mean, that's just another feather in his cap and Swansea's cap. And it'd be great to see him make his senior Wales bow either against Spain or the Republic.
Fingers crossed you will then. Okay then, right. We shall see you next week. Thanks.